Hey, welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I almost said Tuesday. That would suck if it was Tuesday. It's much better that it's Friday. And because it's Friday at 7 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, what's going on, man? How we doing?
You can't be messing with me like that.
I know, I'm sorry.
Tuesday thing. I was like, oh, what is he? Is this Tuesday?
I know.
Because my wife and I literally, right before we went to sleep last night, my wife was like, is tomorrow Friday? I go, I think so. And so, yeah, it's the only reason I ever know it's Friday is because Ryan will text me and say, hey, are you doing the show in the morning? And then I'll go, oh, yeah, it must be Thursday night.
Yeah. So I apologize. Look, it's been a long night. I covered the Predators game last night. I got like 3.5 hours of sleep. There's going to be a lot of mistakes today. It's going to be one of those days, Ryan.
That's all right. That's fine. And football season's over, or college football season's over, and which at my house is football season in its entirety.
Right, exactly. So, Ryan, speaking of football season and a college coach making a jump from being retired to the NFL now, Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville. We talked about it a little bit last week, but now that it's official and that it's happened, what do you think of the move? Not only by Jacksonville, but by Urban Meyer, and how successful do you think he can be in the NFL?
Well, I just wonder about his patience. That's only because, you know, this is the guy that, and I've only interviewed Urban Meyer a few times, but every time I've talked to him, the conversation almost always steers toward how much he hates losing, and you know, he lost 5 games that last year in Florida, and it nearly physically killed him, right? Well, he's going to lose 5 games in the first 6 weeks in Jacksonville. And so the question is, how's he going to handle that? I was looking at it last night. The most, with the exception of that 5-loss year at Florida, I think his first year at Florida maybe lost 4. Other than that, never lost more than 2 or 3 games ever. And most years, I mean, it's been a long time. He never lost more than 2 at Ohio State. So it's going to be interesting to see the guy who's always talked so much about, gone out of his way to talk about how much he just physically and physiologically just can't handle losing. And in the NFL, you know, a great year, you still lose 5-6 games. And so it's going to be really, really interesting to see how he handles that. But, you know, as far as the job itself and the way the NFL works and all that, I think he's going to be relieved to not recruit. I think that's the part that I think hurt him physically more than anything else, is just the fact that it never stopped 24 hours a day with recruiting, and you don't have to do that in the NFL. So who knows? But, I mean, I know he knows football, but I just don't know if he knows pro football.
Yeah, and I think that's – I think you hit on probably my number one question there, Ryan, is the – you know, the handling, the losing. You can have a real good year, lose 6, you know, but also – the offense. Now, I think one thing I've really enjoyed about the NFL last few years is how much they are borrowing from college football. I think it's been more fun and creative, but I don't know about Urban's offense that we've seen over the years in the NFL. What do you think about that, and how much do you think he adjusts it, if at all?
Well, he's going to have to adjust it because I don't know that it works at the pro level. And, you know, I joked a second ago that football season at my house is a college football season. And I love the NFL. I live 5 minutes from Bank of America Stadium where the Panthers are. But it's boring to me because I don't see creativity a lot of times. Now, that's changed dramatically over the last couple of years. You're right. But for us, guys our age growing up, everybody ran either the West Coast offense or whatever the Gen 2 version of the West Coast offense was. That was it. And before that, it was the same. It was the pro set, you know, pro style, whatever. And you know, because of that and because of the level of athleticism, you have to kind of go back toward the middle where everyone else is offensively. And so he's going to have to adapt. Now, he can certainly have elements of what he's run everywhere he's been, but I just think that he's going to have to figure out a way to adapt. There's no question about it. And listen, he's so smart, and he is so intelligent, and he certainly is great at assembling a staff. And so, you know, you get people in there who can tell you this is how this works in the league. Because what we have also seen about the NFL is is that if you try to run counter to the way everyone else does it, and that could be talent evaluation, that could be your offense, that could be your defense, that could be the way you run practice, ask Chip Kelly. They will chew you up and spit you out, no matter if you win at the beginning, because you just don't conform. And so Urban Meyer on some level is going to have to figure out a way to conform.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Ryan, Alabama gets it done. They win their sixth national championship under Saban. Saban's seventh total. And they weren't perfect defensively. They were pretty darn near perfect offensively this season. Was this the best team that Nick Saban has had at Alabama?
I think it is. And, you know, I wrote a piece for ESPN.com yesterday where we did the all-Saban team. And it was his best college players at each position. Not how they did in the NFL, but how his best college players at each position. And the guys we left off the list, like the second and third teamers, if we'd have done that, are better than every other coach's first team. And you know, so it's this team had a lot of guys on that all-Saban team. And that's just saying a lot. That's not a recency bias. That's just what the numbers tell you. And it's just what the success level tells you. And so, yeah, the craziest thing to me when I was putting that team together was that the most ridiculous position was wide receiver. And I would not have guessed that based on, you know, who he was as a coach and the guy that fought the spread and literally walked into, you know, rules meetings and said we're destroying football and all that stuff just a few years ago. And yet, you know, I'm leaving, you know, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs and these guys off the list because I don't – not to mention Plaxico Burress and Musim Muhammad and, you know, and the guys from LSU – and you just don't think about him being, you know, a wide receivers guy, but he's pumped as many wide receivers in the league as he has linebackers.
Yeah, Derek Mason, no doubt. He's had a lot of great guys. Yeah, that was a great idea. And since we're asking best ever, I mean, I'd love to watch this game. We've kind of debated it this week, Ryan. Just last year, an offense that I was like, I'm not sure I've seen a better offense with LSU and with Joe Burrow at the controls. And now, and of course, we saw those teams play last year. So you got, is this the best offense college football has seen?
Well, I mean, you know, I understand that sometimes in the rearview mirror, you know, awards lists and finalist lists and all that stuff can be a little overblown. It's three of the top five Heisman finalists on the same freaking football team. And people forgot about Najee Harris, and I was a Najee Harris guy. He was number one on my ballot most of the year because, you know, and then everyone was suddenly reminded in the national championship game, oh, yeah, he's really, really good. And so, yeah, I think and then you consider the fact that, you know, that Jalen Waddle was hurt, you know, for a good chunk of the year. So I just think that I think it might have been the best offense of all time. And it could have been better, you know, had the guy that we thought was the number one receiver have been healthy all year. So, yeah, it's on paper. And again, to say that about a Nick Saban football team, you know, it was just as unexpected as it was to have said that about an LSU football team.
So, Ryan, the coaching turnover, the coordinator turnover continues at Alabama. Obviously, Sark is out. He'll be the head coach at Texas. Looks like Bill O'Brien coming in at Alabama. What do you think of that move? And what do you think of Bill O'Brien and his potential at Alabama, just given how many different coaches have come in and out of there and this machine just keeps on rolling?
Well, I like Bill O'Brien. All of my dealings with him over the years have been great. And that's not just about him with the Texans, but also they should have a statue of him in front of the stadium at Penn State because he saved that place. And you ask people up there who actually pay attention and don't just think about Penn State football with their heart, and they'll tell you the exact same thing. And they should forever be thankful. James Franklin will tell you that in a heartbeat. But even going back to when he was, you know, an assistant at Georgia Tech, you know, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, I just like him. And he has a college pedigree. And, you know, we were talking about Urban Meyer going to the NFL with, you know, no NFL experience. Bill O'Brien got a lot of college experience. So if Nick Saban sat in a room with him and he felt good about what that guy can do, then I don't believe I'm going to question the process at this point.
Well, Ryan, we've gone way too long without asking you about your alma mater, so let me do the honors.
I was looking at my watch, and I thought, man, I might get out of here before they ask me all for Tennessee questions.
So what the heck is going to happen here? How do you read the latest smoke signals coming out of Knoxville?
Well, I mean, and I don't think a lot has changed as far as what I think might happen. And you guys know Chris Lowe, who lives right there in the middle of all of it on a day-to-day basis, and he doesn't seem to think anything's changed either. It's just, right now, to me, any coaching changes, staff changes, assistant changes, any changes to the current staff, to me, is the proverbial, deck chairs on the Titanic, because I just think that there's an expiration date, and there's a moment where everybody, you feel like everyone's starting to move on. And I don't know now if you can get out from underneath that. Even if you say, you know what, we looked into this and it's not as bad as we thought, and coach is back and here we go. But I think the damage is done. I don't know that you can fix that over the long haul. And we've certainly seen them in the past maybe have a guy 1 year too long after everyone seemed to think they were out the year before. And it's just it's Groundhog Day.
It is. It's incredible how inept that place has been over the course of the past decade plus. Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ryan, appreciate you so much for joining us all season long during college football. You're one of the absolute best. And it's been a pleasure to have you on every week.
Anytime, boys. And hey, it's National Hat Day, and I've got my I got my Nashville hat on right now.
Nice.
So, there you go. I'm repping Music City from a state away.
Very nicely done. Beautiful. Ryan McGee, we appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, boys.
Absolutely. One of the best in the business. When we come back, we'll try to dive a little bit deeper into that dumpster fire that is Tennessee football. How close is Jeremy Pruitt to getting let go? And is Ryan McGee right? Is the damage already done no matter what happens out of this investigation? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.